Parent Q Live is a monthly podcast designed to help parents do family better.
Welcome to Parent Q Live. We are so glad you're going to be here as a parent listening to us talk about maybe how to do family a little better than what you are doing it. Because I think we can all grow a little bit in our family and parenting. And I get to hang out with some great leaders and great people. And today I'm here with Frank Beeler and Kristen Ivey. Kristen Ivey is a mother of three, one of which is like, what is that, 4 months, Kristen?
4 months now. Yep.
4 months. Also co-author with It's Just a Phase and executive messaging director of Orange. And then Frank Beeler is a business leader who has done some amazing things in his life. And then several years ago, he became a pastor in a church. Frank, it's great to have you here.
Man, it's great to be here.
You got three kids too, right?
Yeah, three kids. I've got a 13-year-old. I'm in the world of teenagers now, a 9-year-old, and about to be 8-year-old.
Wow. And as far as it goes with middle school world, I'm sure that's kind of changing the way you define parenting all over again.
Oh, goodness. I feel like I'm starting all over. I don't know anything anymore.
Does that mean they don't sleep through the night all over again?
This is true. It is disturbing, all the things that we're having to relearn and change.
Well, and I know a few months ago, Frank, we were talking about this idea that you've been kind of floating around in your own life and world as it relates to parents and helping them. And there's a book coming out of this ultimately. But tell me a little bit about the idea, and then let's push it down and talk about how it's practical for parents who are listening.
Yeah, definitely. So the idea is simply, if you don't, who will? That we have the opportunity as parents to play a key role in the lives of kids. And for whatever reason, God has entrusted us with kids and chosen us to be the key person to make a difference.
Which is great. I love the phrase, if you don't, who will? And when you first said it, I wanted to go, okay, if you don't, what? Which is kind of exactly the point, right? If you don't blank, then who will? Let's fill in some of those blanks for a second. Let's illustrate what that looks like and what that means as a parent, because a parent needs to understand they have a unique responsibility.
Right. I mean, automatically, I go to the granular, like drive them to kindergarten and help take them to the potty, because that's just...
So if you don't take them to the potty, who will? If you don't drive them to kindergarten, who will? What are some other ideas?
If you don't love them through the difficult things in life, who will?
Good, that's great. Good. If you don't help them get their learner's license and teach them how to drive, who will? Mm-hmm. Let's get some more practical specifics. What are some more?
I think if you don't take them to Chick-fil-A to play with some friends and get to know some kids their age.
Yeah, if you don't teach them about fitness and exercising and taking care of their bodies.
If you don't teach them how to talk to the opposite sex. If you don't teach them how to respect those in authority. And we can go down the list.
That's great.
I mean, you have this unique role, which is the point of the book or the idea, to raise the bar for parents to realize you are in a very, very unique role as a parent. So let's talk about this. I guess that means that your kids really do need you more than you think. Is that true?
Yeah, I think they need you more than you think, but I wonder if it looks different at different phases of a kid's life. Like right now with my 4-month-old, I'm very aware that she needs me a lot. And it might be more than I'm aware of, but it's a whole lot and it's obvious. But as they get older, Frank, you're a little further down the road, I would think maybe it's different as they grow up.
Yeah, my firstborn son, Micah, he's great about telling me everything he thinks and everything he needs and what he thinks he needs from me. But my middle son, Isaac, for example, he is really quiet and just kind of hangs back. But if you just reach out just a little bit, he's like this bubble. And sometimes all these emotions will pour out and you realize that he really does need me and he has a lot that he was wondering about or wrestling with, but he won't necessarily speak up and tell us that.
So that's Micah and Isaac, and you've got three children. What about your other one?
Yeah, Layla's my
little
girl.
Okay, wait a second. You got Isaac and Micah. That sounds like you were kind of in this biblical mode when you named them. Then you got Layla. Where did that name come from?
Yeah, we watched this movie, my wife and I, called Sky High, a cartoon or a movie about superheroes, and we thought the name Layla sounded great.
But they all respond differently. They all need different things from you, and you've got to figure out somehow how to decipher and understand that. And so how does that challenge you as a parent? What does that mean you should understand as it relates to them? Because there's a tendency, right? There's a tendency for us to neglect those who don't let us know
right.
they need us and to give the attention to those who are clear about what we need to do for them.
Right. In my own family, I know that Sawyer's the one who will always tell me that he needs one-on-one time and individual time. He schedules it on my calendar. But Hensley's my daughter who sort of withdraws and she starts to get distant. Her tendency is to actually shut us out when she needs us the most. And so we've tried to learn how to read her. And as she's shutting us out,
way of saying she needs attention.
Then we say, hey, would you like to go do something one-on-one? And it's always she's ready and eager to go. But you just have to learn how to read those cues.
And now I'm just going to make a suggestion. You can jump in here, Frank, and see what you think. When she's in middle school, that will look different in that phase. Because right now, you know, it is true that she needs you more than you think sometimes, and she doesn't let you know. But when she's in middle school, she may need you more than she thinks. And you've got to figure out how to navigate that in a whole different way.
You think she might someday tell me she doesn't need me? Is that what you're...
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that show in your world, Frank?
Well, I want to say this. I want to make sure we don't miss this reality. Some kids may let us know. Some kids may not say anything. But I'm learning as I talk to more and more parents that they all need us. They all need us to speak into their lives. And so whether they're driving us crazy as a teenager and they're making bad choices, they need us to speak into their life. And they want us to. They truly do need us to be a voice in their lives. And then when they get, as they grow older, they want us to be present.
So this really is a way to say to parents, you've got to be intentional. You've got to be disciplined. You have to make this intentional and personal in your own life if this is going to be true. So there is a side of this that I would love to talk about because I think that each parent has a specific role that they play in a kid's life. Hmm. And there's something, and see if you agree with this, there's something that you can do as the dad, something you can do as the mom that maybe your spouse can or can't do, or it may have nothing to do with gender, the mother or father thing. It may have to do with your personalities in their life at that moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. My wife, Jessica, she's an amazing parent. She does such a great job. She is a rule follower. Mm-hmm. She has a system for our family and our life. And as long as everything falls in that system, we're doing well. Mm-hmm. But when the kids push against that system, she has this plan of correction or discipline. But sometimes that doesn't work. And sometimes she'll invite me in on that conversation and say, hey, you talk to them. And they'll receive the same statement from me different than they do from her. Well, they're around her a lot more and they're used to her kind of presenting the rules. And so when I come out from left field and say, hey, no, I'm in agreement with your mom, or we need to talk about this in a different way, they seem to receive it well when I
do
that.
So your kids need something different from both of you that you both can uniquely give them.
Without a doubt.
I think in my own life, I think about my own parents and how they practice that, because I come from, my parents were divorced. I lived with my dad. My sister lived with my mom. So it was just kind of a tricky situation. But I think one of the things they did really well is realize somewhere along the way that my sister and I still needed the other parent as well. And so, you know, I'm just thinking of moments where my mom would recognize that, hey, I needed to have that, whatever it was that my dad could give me, no matter what was between them relationally, that we still needed both parents.
So when we talk about that, that's a great perspective on a blended family or a family where there's single parents. But in some scenarios, you've got a mom or dad who might be listening to this and they're like, yes, but you don't understand my story. I have a spouse who's no longer, or a partner who's no longer, a dad or mother who's no longer possible to interact with my kids. So what does that mean for me? What if I'm listening to this and I recognize there are unique roles that we need to have in the kids and that this is kind of God's design, but things have been broken. What does that look like?
I think as much as our children need us, we also recognize sometimes that we're not sufficiently everything that they need. And so they need another adult. Maybe it's another parent, or maybe it's a grandparent or a role model leader, somebody that you can identify who kind of fills in the gap.
And so it can be complicated, but what we're saying is never stop doing what only you can do as a parent, because there are things you see, things you understand that nobody else will understand. And sometimes some of you who are listening to this feel like, well, I know that there's things I can do no one else can do, but what, I've already messed those up, because sometimes I feel like I'm just not that great at this.
Yeah, I like the messed up factor. One of my favorite scenes from Parenthood a long time ago was a scene where the mom is there at home with her toddler daughter, and the dad came home. She's sitting in the hallway, literally has locked her daughter in her room while the daughter's just destroying it, throwing things, screaming. And the mom says to her husband in that moment, I think we need another child because we've already ruined this one.
That's hilarious. I'm glad Josh, who's working technical, is listening to this, because they're expecting their first child.
So they get a clean slate.
I want to be there when that moment happens a little bit.
But the reality is, even though we feel like maybe we've messed up or we've ruined it, there's still so much opportunity with us and our kids, when we understand this principle that we can do something unique in their lives, because parents have something that no other adult has when it comes to their child. That's history. I mean, we have history and context with our child like nobody else. We've known them from the beginning. We understand nuances about who they've been and who they are now. We see them in context of their whole life.
That's good. That's good. And that's important. And when I listened to Frank talk about the idea for the book and the idea, you know, that your kid needs you more than you think, and if you don't, who else will? The one thing that comes to my mind when you talk about the history is that we have the potential to show them what forgiveness looks like more than anybody else, because we will know them in a way no one else knows them. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's wonderful. This whole idea that they're known by us, we know them as much as we possibly can, and yet we still love them no matter what.
What inspired you, Frank, to kind of start wrestling with this one idea and to actually write to parents or influence parents to think about this?
Well, my wife and I ended up in this scripture found in Mark chapter 9 in the Bible. And we just find this father that's in a really desperate situation. Uh-huh. And we all as parents know what that's like, to feel like we're just in this hopeless situation where it just doesn't seem to be working. We don't know what else to do. And this father has a sick son and they've tried everything. He's a loving father, but nothing seems to be working. And now here's an opportunity for him to take his son to Jesus because he's heard that maybe Jesus can make a difference. But what inspired us was the fact that the father got up off the couch and he grabbed his son and he went and sought out Jesus, because mm-hmm. Jesus didn't show up in their home. There was something about this parent having this responsibility, this thing that he had to do that only he could do as a parent, to feel compassion for his child, to make sure that his child had this opportunity to be healed.
That's good.
Oh, I think of so many parents that I know who are in that situation, whether it's finding the right doctor, finding the right teacher, finding the right mentor or friend or peer group or whatever it is, but there is that urgency where you see a need in your child and you're just going to do whatever it takes to take care of that.
And regardless of where a parent is who's listening to this as we come to the end of this, no matter what state you're in, there's still something you can do. Mm-hmm. And I love a couple of things that you've said about never stop. And if we wrap it up right here, I mean, I think that would be the one thing I'd want them to remember.
Definitely. Never stop. Always pursue everything you can that's best for your child. And on those days where it feels like you can't possibly give enough or be enough, know that you are God's first plan for that child.
That's good. And that's exactly why I felt like we needed to think about this idea today. And the one thing we want you to remember all the way through the course of the next week and the next month is simply, if you don't, who will? Thanks for listening to Parent Q, and we hope that will make a little bit of a difference in how you parent and how you do family this month.